Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living health care fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Nobody has asked me to marry anyone yet, but for the first time the other day, somebody knew me because of the podcast.
All right.
It was a funeral, unfortunately, but this young couple came to me and they told me, "Aren't you the priest that is in the podcast?" And I said, "Yes, that's me."
Excellent. It's good to be with you. So what gospel are we going to look at? This is going to be the eighth Sunday in Ordinary Time, by the way.
That's the last week before Ash Wednesday. We are going to read Luke's gospel, chapter 6, 39 to 45. So we are continuing reading from the second part of the Sermon in the Plain.
Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person, out of the store of goodness in his heart, produces good, but an evil person, out of a store of evil, produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. All right, a heavy little passage there.
Interesting.
What stands out to you?
For me, it's my...
You look like you're thinking.
Well, my personal experience is that I belong to a religious community, a small one, community of St. Paul, but we do have a period of formation, and this gospel was very present in my life when I was younger, the years of formation, and I'm trying to remember why. It was very present to me. Say that famous sentence in English, that blank...
Yeah, why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye when you do not perceive the wooden beam in your own?
It's very human. We do it all the time. I remember being very mindful of that when I was growing up.
What stands out for me a little bit more so, I hate to say it this way, that phrase, the splinter and the wooden beam, is just used so much, it's thrown around so much. It's hard for me to kind of approach it in a fresh way. I really appreciate kind of the second part of what Jesus is saying here, that reality of you'll know something is good or evil based on the fruit that's produced. I think that's so very true for us as individuals, but also in communities. I think this especially as parishes, that if there's something good there, you're going to see it by the fruit that's produced. If down below there's something evil that's usually disguised or beneath the surface, you're going to see it generally in a lack of charity. We would say that for individuals or for communities. I just think it's an important reflection.
Before we go into communities and parishes, I think that's very true of parents, of parenting. Mm. You see the children the way they are, and you can see what kind of education, what kind of parenting they're experiencing.
Yeah.
I always thought this sentence to mean that also.
Yes, I would say that with a qualification. You know, sometimes, especially later on in life, I see it with children, but later on in life, you often hear this, oh, my college student has stopped going to mass or is doing this or that. They may be very good parents, but someone is making their child is making their own decisions at a certain point. However, I do think that there are some connections there in saying when parents emphasize the right things as being important, when they really are doing the best that they can do, you see that in the children.
Mm-hmm.
I see it in a funny way, too, in that sometimes kids have idiosyncrasies or kind of weird ways of approaching
things. That we cannot blame the parents for.
Well, no, but then you meet the parents and you say, oh, I see. I see where this comes from.
That is what many people have told me when they have met my parents. Because I have a father who is very quiet and a thoughtful person who thinks a lot. And who is very nuanced in his opinions. And then I have a mom who is a firecracker. So mm-hmm. I seem to be a mixing of the both, depending on what time of day you catch me. Tell me what would be, now moving into communities, what would be the fruits that somebody could see, for instance, at your parishes?
Well, I think it's a little dangerous to answer that because mm-hmm. I may have opinions. Others may see things very, very differently. I would say, I know this is a bad answer because I've thought about this. I'm not sure I could quite describe it. I think it's something that people would know when they see. They see a sense of peace, a place where they're going to meet the gospel, a place of energy and enthusiasm. But also, what's always been important to me as a pastor is to say unhealthy behaviors are not tolerated mm-hmm. here. We'll never tolerate parking lot gossip, for instance. That makes no credence. We'll not take information from that seriously. Or demeaning of others or going behind someone's back. We need to speak face to face. Are we there? Oh, not even close. But those are things that are important to me. But a singular focus on Jesus Christ hopefully produces all of that.
You are changing a culture, right? You would say that. And that's the problem with changing a culture, that the fruits may not be so obvious.
Right.
Because
that's
a
good way to say it.
I would have answered the same way, but it's difficult sometimes. I'm very proud, for instance, of the two chapels that my parish helped to build in the Dominican Republic. And those are real things, you know, mm-hmm. along with everything else. So we sometimes need touchable, how would you say that?
Tangible.
Yeah.
Tangible things.
Yeah, I was making up a word, but tangible things that show that this change of culture that we try to accomplish.
This is not always true, but I have found in my life, maybe you have as well, that gatherings of people, whether it be religious or non-religious, those that kind of make a point of advertising their welcomingness or their maybe how wonderful they are sometimes are the worst of all. I've long thought that the issues in a community that are below the surface are the most poisonous. It mm-hmm. could be clickiness. It could be a judgmentalism and that we're nicer than the next parish over or whatever it might be. I've had kind of bad experiences. When I hear that from a parish leader that, oh, we're really, really welcoming, for instance, I just have a little suspicion about that to say, why do you need to say that? It might also mean that there are some issues perhaps beneath the surface. Not always. I
know perfectly what you mean. I was at a meeting the other day. Yeah, I'm not going to say what I would have said probably when I was younger. I witnessed something like this recently, and it has somebody self-publicizing himself and his parish, and it was very uncomfortable. Yeah, I think I agree with you. Anyway, we are about to begin Lent.
Right.
A preacher should acknowledge this. What should we say about Lent?
I really come back to the same thing on this particular time frame to see, use the liturgical season well. So as you're looking forward to Ash Wednesday, start to plan some things that you're going to do in a very practical level.
Some fruits.
Not overly complicated. Some fruits. Yeah, exactly. It's a good way to say it. See, at the end of Lent, here are some fruits that perhaps someone would say. But to use the season well, these seasons are a gift. They're this kind of fixed amount of time that the church gives to us, and just to use it well. So that's kind of where I'm at. At a little bit deeper level, I haven't quite given that the thought yet. So what about you? I know what you're going to say. Your parish is very intentional about doing something for Lent. Are you able to share what those plans might be?
So let me answer first to what you were saying. I absolutely agree with you. And I think we've both said the same thing many times in previous episodes about planning and being intentional, letting the liturgical season drive your life or frame your life a little bit. And then to be specific, what do we need to see happening? And the second question, what my parents is going to do. You remember a couple of weeks ago, I was traveling in I went to Bolivia.
Right.
So instead of a chapel in the Dominican Republic, chapel-community center, we are going to build, through my community is building a new chapel community center in Bolivia, in one of the places where we work. And I want my parish, I wanted Sacred Heart to support it as the Lenten campaign. In the last 2 years, we were able to finance the building and then a trip to bless it of two chapels. And now we are doing the same, but in another country. So one of the things we do in Lent is almsgiving and fasting. We want the fasting to produce almsgiving, so to speak, to connect this, which was the origin of the tradition, and then to do some good for someone. Lent can be very self-centered, like New Year resolutions. We need to make sure that our improvement, spiritual and personal, benefits others also. It's not only about ourselves.
Something I debate about often internally as a pastor is that relationship between our individual actions for Lent and then what my parish might do or my community. I don't think a lot of people do this, but as a kid, sometimes I would say, well, I'm doing this for school or for the parish, so that's what I'm doing for Lent. It would almost be like an excuse, and that I wouldn't do anything personally.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think many people would think that, but it's always in the back of my mind to say, make sure you're doing something individually, even though our parish might be doing some special things here as well. And by the way, I'm excited about this, the way your parish has embraced those chapels and those parts of the world, which really appreciate just the gift of the gospel and enabling them to do something that perhaps couldn't do themselves.
Maybe if you feel this way, maybe I should have invited you.
I know.
To do this.
So there's a lot to pray about here in this gospel. I think maybe that's the big thing that I want to say is don't jump to conclusions or to old cliches or what we think about certain phrases in here. I really would hope that all of us, and myself included, we really pray over this gospel because we are part of all of this. You know, we are all hypocrites at times. We all produce bad fruit at times. This is not someone else. Maybe that's my thing. Don't point to someone else. It really is us. So as always, but especially I think with this gospel, some time for some good prayer, perhaps in preparation for Lent.
I think my preparation, what I will suggest to the people, good people at Sacred Heart, is let's answer the question, what are the good fruits in your life? What is it? What does it mean? And can we address them for Lent, for instance, a fruitful Lent? That's actually, if I'm not wrong, that's one of the sentences in the preface for Ash Wednesday. I'm sorry about this. I have this photographic memory. Something about the fruitfulness of Lent is there. I'm pretty sure in one of the prayers or in the preface, what's going to be the fruit of our Lent.
Okay. Well, we're looking forward to that. So we'll enjoy this last week of ordinary time now. As always, if you're looking for a place to go to Sunday Mass, archmill.org in southeastern Wisconsin. That's the website for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. Great information there besides Mass times. And then masstimes.org if you're someone else and want to look at the national Mass times.
Should we meet for Ash Wednesday then?
Yeah.
Very good. See you there.
All right.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.